in all of time, in all of history, man has never created one single living cell. Yet your body does that millions to billions of times a day. That's where I put my faith. So I try to encourage people. I want them to know that, listen, that there's a doctor 24/7 on the clock, making chemicals, making hormones, detoxing you. So yeah, compared to the smartest person you know or the greatest doctor you think, I'm just saying that level of intelligence is laughable compared to the wisdom that is in you right now, animating you so you can even hear me say this. If I can help you understand the magnificence of the body that God gave you, your fear of disease drops significantly. Your fear of a fever drops significantly because you realize that you're designed to heal. So I'm Dr. Ben Rall. Welcome to Designed to Heal.
Welcome back to Designed to Heal. My name is Jeff, your co-host here with Dr. Ben Rall. And Ben, we have a guest on the line today, as often is the case. And so, man, what's going on today?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because we talk a lot on this show. It tends to be, now, the statistics say that, you know, about 80 to 90% of healthcare decisions that are made by the woman, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about it, as mom makes the haircut appointment.
Isn't that true? Like 80 to 90% of life decisions are made by the woman right there? Yeah. Like in my house, that's
and
how it goes.
And it's probably better that way. I'm not even trying to disrupt that. And so we end up talking a lot about that. We have recently had a guest on known as the Warrior Mom, and you hear about mama bears. Yeah. But it's always, it's been on my heart for a long time. I don't think that it's great that men often kind of seemingly acquiesce that
right.
That perspective. Certainly, there's a reason that God made men, and right, we need to right. be men. And yeah. culture is almost tried to destroy that reality. Yeah, right? Yeah. You hear these terms like toxic masculinity.
Yeah,
that it's
yeah.
almost literally frowned upon to be a man.
Right,
like it's bad.
Well, to me, it's like that beautiful intuition that a woman brings, but the man needs to step up and take that wisdom and then lead and deal with it. And what happens, unfortunately, is it seems like he's just relegated to the back. And I say relegated, a lot of times it's his fault, and I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean,
we got
30-year-old men living in their basement
right.
playing video games,
right.
and this is a problem.
Yeah.
All right? And then these men are actually 30-year-old boys are supposed to then get married and raise
right,
a family,
right, right,
and parent a child, and do all that, and
yeah,
so
it's adolescence, prolonged adolescence. These are new words,
yeah, because it's ridiculous,
right?
Because it shouldn't even exist,
right?
And then it creates a whole next layer of problems, a sequelae
sure,
problem.
Sure.
So our guest today is a gentleman named Brent Dowlin, and he has a podcast called The Fallible Man. And we were talking a little bit before we got started. He really covers just a variety of topics. I would say he is fearless in how he approaches these things and really has a heart for men and for what that looks like. And so we can't talk about health. We can't talk about wellness. We can't talk about these things and not talk about, you know, who we are that are raising this next generation. Mm-hmm. So, Brent, welcome to the show, my friend.
Ben, Jeff, thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to be here today.
Well, will you tell us a little bit about yourself, our listeners, a little bit about your background before we kind of dive into the nitty gritty here? Just tell us about your podcast, your work, and a little bit of your journey.
Absolutely. So I've been in this industry now. It's funny because I don't really think of it as industry. I was running away from God. Honestly, that's how I got here. I started writing a book. For years, I had been making these observations. I used to be a youth minister many years ago. Seems like a lifetime ago now. Mm-hmm. And I see all these frustrations with young teenage girls, right? And as a youth minister, you get a front row to, you know, quote unquote, young love, right? People experiencing some kind of relationships for the first time. And I'd see all these heartbroken girls. But I'd look at the boys and realize that they honestly didn't know what a healthy relationship should look like, right? They weren't necessarily being taught how to interact with women in a healthy way or how to be a man, even in homes where you had both parents at home, it wasn't always a factor. And I have 7 nieces. I have 2 daughters now, and I've been surrounded by women my whole life. And so I used to get teased. My wife and I would have all our friends over for dinner every Thursday night for a long time. And I'd have all these women in my house fussing about their boyfriends or their husbands, whatever their relationship status was. And I started translating men for these women in my house. Mm. And they're like, man, you need to write a book. You need to like put this down, help us understand men better. And I really started thinking about that. And was like, the term mansplaining hadn't been invented yet.
Uh-oh.
But in the back of my mind, I already had that red flag going off. It's like, I'm not about to try and tell women how to understand men. Right. So how do I positively start to influence this situation? And so I started writing a book on how to be men, what good men look like, what good men are. And as I was writing this book, which still is not done, full disclosure, it's in its third rendition or fourth at this point. But I started looking into self-publishing because I didn't have a fan base. I wasn't a big name or anything. And I realized I had to get out in front of people if anyone other than my wife and my mother were ever going to read it. And so I started doing the social media thing. Everybody gets insta-famous, right? And that was the easy way to do it. Turns out, A, I am not great at social media, and B, I kind of hate it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm not going to thrive on a platform that I really just hate being on most of the time.
Brent, I got to stop you there for just a second real quick. I love you already because we share that affinity of hating social media and we were youth pastors. We did hard time, man. So like you and I, we're buddies. Let's keep going here.
I started looking at it. It's like, what's a good platform for me? Right. Well, because I have this background, I've been speaking since I was 11. Growing up, my dad was a domestic missionary. So I was in front of the church leading singing in all a cappella church at 11 years old. Because there weren't men who were leading. And at that time in the church, we were still trying to teach young men come up leading. And so I've been doing this for a long time. I'm very comfortable talking to people. And that's exactly, I was like, podcast. I love podcasts. I love listening to podcasts. I'm totally comfortable on the microphone. And so I started, what started as a book turned into a podcast. And here we are. I started in September of 2020. I launched with 10 episodes and here we are in season 5. And I love what I do. If I can reach one man, if you say I cover a lot of things, and I do, I was told right off the bat, I think 2 months into it, I sat down with a professional video coach from one of the, I won't like throw shade on him. So I won't name one of those groups that helps you with YouTube and stuff like that. And they're like, your show's going to fail, man. I was like, why? You're not niche enough. I said, well, are you that niche? I have two daughters. That doesn't mean that I'm just a middle-aged dad of girls. That doesn't sum me up. I don't know anybody who's that two-dimensional.
Right.
And so knowing that I'm supposed to fail, I just kept pushing forward with my show because I've never met a person that's two-dimensional.
Yeah. Well, so,
so if we can do an episode and reach one person with that episode, it's huge.
Well, so what? Well, so let's talk. Let's have a little guy talk here. And maybe I'm laughing at my daughter. She's 16, and she probably definitely needs help understanding her dad a little bit. Matter of fact, we were out last night, just me and her spending some time together. And I don't know if she's more discouraged or encouraged that I'm her dad. That time will tell here. But what is kind of your, how do you like, I mean, it's a super interesting background, Brent. I mean, not many have had that and had your experience and then are comfortable speaking into this space. Those that do, I think, wade into these waters often get, like you said, you know, they get canceled so quickly, or there's just these landmines that we don't even know how to communicate. And I think part of that is by design, with just the fracturedness of what seems to be culture at some level. And so how have you, you know, or how do you talk about this topic? Kind of what is your, you know, opus that you want to share with today's men or the today's men? I also have a 14-year-old son. Jeff has several children as well, and boys and girls. Like, what is that message that you really want to help men understand, or, you know, how do you like to explain that?
The simplest version of it is once you align with the purpose you were born for, everything else in your life will start to smooth out. I mean, that's probably the simplest breakdown is when a man falls in line with his purpose, everything else gets really clear and really clean. Now, but most men have no idea they have a purpose.
Well,
so they were born with a purpose.
Yeah, well, I want to go there, but you just make right when you said that Jonah jumped into my mind, because there's two ways to prove something out, right? One is following the purpose that God has for your life, and then one is running from that purpose, i.e. Jonah, right? God was pretty clear, go to Nineveh. He's like, I don't want to. Matter of fact, I'm going to go the other way, and then we all know that story. So if the starting premise is, you know, this reality that God does have a plan for your life, and yeah, we can either get on board with that, or we can run from it. Now, again, the loudness of the world is going to try to give you a purpose, if you will, or some version of some just perverted kind of situation. You're talking about, again, I think something deeper than that. You're talking about a purpose beyond just your title you may have. Like you even said, hey, I'm a man with two daughters, but that's not all I am. So how do you help men or people kind of walk through this? Is there some tools or some thoughts of how you can begin to identify what that purpose is, that God has for you?
You know, that's a incredibly complex question. Before we go down the road, I got to laugh that you said Jonah, because I told you I lost an argument with God. That's where the fallible man started. Mm-hmm. I really didn't want to do this. I didn't want to write the book. Had that imposter syndrome. I'm like, who am I, God? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't shake the direction. But I ran from God 20 some odd years ago. And I had my own year of my figurative well. Mm-hmm. That's why I begrudgingly conceded, because I've run from God. I know the other side of that story firsthand. So that's why I didn't run this time. So it just cracked me up that you even said that.
Yeah.
But helping guys find their purpose is where it gets really complex, because we aren't simple creatures. So a lot of times we have to start cleaning up the mess to get a vision of what's out there and what's possible for me. Hmm. Right. It's like if you, say your living room is just super cluttered and messy, and you know, I've got two daughters and a dog, and there's five people living in my house, man. It's crazy. My living room clean versus my living room most days of the week is like a whole different, it looks like a different room entirely, right? I got Girl Scout cookies piled over all over my floor right now. My wife is a Girl Scout leader, and my daughters are both Girl Scouts, and we're mid-season, so I got stacks of Girl Scout cookie boxes. I've got a tortoise that lives in the corner of my living room. I mean, it's insane, right? And the difference in how big or small that room looks, how it feels, all changes with the clutter. And with men, a lot of time, that's part of the problem, is we've built up a lot of clutter. And so we have to start cleaning up certain areas of our lives so we can actually get a real view of what's there, right? So that's where we start.
It just made me think about Brent. You know, from a health perspective, to me, it's very similar. A lot of times in people's lives, they've got so much junk going on in a health perspective that it's not that they can't heal, but really what they need to do to heal is actually oftentimes kind of clean up their lifestyle. Is certainly a good start for many people. And so I think you're right. We just, as a thought, if for people that are listening to this, and this goes across the board for men and women, I mean, if your life is so busy, quote the old acronym, right, buried under Satan's yoke, if we got so much clutter in our life from all the things that we know aren't good for us, it is definitely going to be hard to hear from God, because there isn't an opportunity in a sense to do that. Now, sure, there's the Jonah stories where he throws you over the boat. I mean, that happens, but you know, that's also, we can do a really good job of muffling that down. And so I think that is a really appropriate point. I appreciate that you start there, because sometimes you go, oh man, I just want to, God, what's my purpose? And it's like, you're not even actually trying to answer that question, because you have your life filled up. Now, it might have been unintentional. You might have to come to this moment and you listen to this podcast today going, honestly, I never even thought about that. I need to clean up my house. Maybe literally for some people listening to this. But anyway, I thought about that as you were sharing. So carry on.
And that's actually legitimately, that part of my base is, so I have years in the gym as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I only held a certification for a little while, and that was just for the convenience of, you know, insurance and running the business. But I've been training people on and off for years. My favorite people are ones that are recovered from injuries, because I know they're trying to regain their life, which is a much better motivation than the soccer mom who's had three kids and just wants to shake off a little bit of the weight afterwards. Nothing wrong with that, but people who are trying to recover their life because of an injury are generally more motivated, right? So likewise, guys who are a little more broken are almost easier to work with. Mm. But we start cleaning that up, and we have to start cleaning up with little things. Because I have that gym background, I'm very big into incremental growth, right? Small, approachable, deliverable, like actual changes that are possible. Everybody wants that. That's why New Year's resolutions always like 86% failure rate or something, right? Everybody tries to make this giant jump instead of building a small habit, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to start very legitimately with where a person is and start looking at what they've racked up. Most of the time we got to start with preconceived notions. I've actually had a man shake my hand. He was asking about what I do with the podcast and what I do with men. And I was like, well, part of the big thing is I help guys see that there's something beyond just being that provider. Mm. Right? Most guys are really down with the concept of provider, protector, presider. And very few of them get into the preside anymore, because that's just not popular in our culture. Mm. But most guys are okay with that provider protector role, right? This is something that's fairly commonly acceptable. But a lot of guys have never taught. My own journey started there. It's like, wait, I hit the American dream. I had a decent income. I was taking care of my family, dog, family, car, house, yay. And I started looking around going, this is it? Mm. There's got to be more, right? But a lot of guys don't ever get to that. We hit that quote unquote American dream, and that's where we're told to stop. We get out of school or out of, you know, high school, whatever grade level you go to, and your job is to get a job, make money, establish a family, and take care of them. That's it. Yeah. We're not told to move past that. We're not told or encouraged that there's more to life than that for us. And so the first thing is shaking that off. Like I said, I shook a hand with a guy and I was telling him what I do. And I was like, yeah, I help guys move past this point. And he's like, but what else is there? That's it. That's what we do. And I mean, this man was, I want to say, upper 50s. Mm-hmm. And he had a teenage son who was almost out of high school. And I'm looking at this continuation going, it's just aching my heart, because he really honestly didn't think there was anything else left in life after that. Mm. And it's like, you were made to shine, man. You were built for so much more than this. But first we have to start getting rid of that preconceived notion for a lot of guys is, no, there really is more for you. The world is bigger than that. We just have to start looking into all these little places that you've kind of pushed aside, right? So we start getting rid of the preconceived notions. Then we have to start dealing with self-talk usually. Self-talk, self-image almost go hand in hand. One definitely affects the other more. But
well, Brett, let me ask you about that, because I was wondering, I'm just curious your take on this. So, you know, is that what you are seeing out there? Like people are... So I'll say this from a healing perspective, just because that's my world. Like if people don't think that there's hope, a lot of this is so corollary because, and I know you know about health with some of the other work that you do, but a lot of times, you know, if we don't believe that there's hope that I can get well, then I won't even bother, right? Like it's a helplessness. It's the opposite of hope. It's like, well, what does it even matter? Why bother? And then out of that, you'll see things like, you know, depression or anxieties or some version of that, right? And then all of a sudden, you can see how if I feel that way, then I might make some very poor life choices because I don't even think it's worth it. And so there's just this kind of a degradation of of faith or belief, like of those things that you were just saying. And so, is that part of what you feel like, you know, men are, because I hear these stories like, you know, men and women growing up going, well, I don't even know if I want to have kids because they've been believed, they feel like it's bad to have kids. I mean, you're almost told you're selfish to have kids because you're going to cause global warming because you have a kid. Or some people have so much fear of the world that they don't even want to bring a child into this. And you have these weird narratives that are being into people where they don't even want to participate. And I think that is honestly part of the you're probably comfortable with this word, but some of to me that is actually demonic. It's really so anti-life, anti-God that it's honestly heartbreaking to me to see people kind of swallow that narrative. They are created for so much more. Matter of fact, it says they're created in the likeness and image of God, and we're here for specific purposes, like divine purposes, like purposes from God, like Jeremiah 29:11. Like there's some stuff to deal with here. And so I feel like this, you know, it's this weird thing where men just have really, it's like they've been, you know, excuse my language, but it's like in some ways they've been castrated from that reality. And it's, so then it just sounds good to just, you know, lay around in the basement and not do anything. I mean, what's your thoughts on that? Or do you have a different perspective, or is there some truth to what I feel like I'm seeing out there?
No, I think you're 100% right with that. Mm-hmm. In fact, it's one of the biggest hurdles trying to start any journey with men. So my podcast and what I do isn't specifically faith-based.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times I'm dealing with men who don't even have that going for them. Mm. Right. But you and I, we can fall back on our faith when things get rough, yeah, or when we're feeling empty. You know, there's a huge, like men's mental health is a huge, huge crisis these days. And people don't want to talk about it. That's one of the things I'm actually focusing on this season on my show, is I'm trying to make that a more normal conversation, mm-hmm, because the statistics are horrifying.
Right.
And you deal with men who don't have a faith base to start with, and they're struggling even worse. Because mm-hmm, I can at least always fall back on, I believe that I was made in the image of God.
Yeah.
I believe that with all my, I know God created me for a purpose in his image and to shine. The Bible's very clear about that. And so at least I can fall back on that when I get low. But then you run into men who don't have that faith base, right? They weren't raised with that, or they rejected it for whatever reason. And now they're even deeper in the waters, mm, out there, just drowning. Because where is that hope, right?
So when you're seeing that, yeah, well, I agree, but to your point, and I think this is important, because not everybody that listens to this podcast is faith-based, and I know that, so, you know, you being willing to go into those waters, and I honestly, I think it's quite, I don't know, noble is the right word. I mean, just, it's very, I think maybe even your youth ministry background maybe makes you willing to walk in. You know, not everybody that comes to youth group on a Wednesday night or whatever is saved or a person of faith. Matter of fact, a lot of times, right, those groups bring your friends, bring your kids that are struggling. So maybe you have a more comfort in that space where it doesn't intimidate you to have those conversations. Like you said, you'll talk to anybody, but you're comfortable doing that, because even though, and I want your perspective on this. So if you're listening to this, and also, you know, we have a lot of female listeners, because of the nature of our show, that maybe they're married to a husband that is, And this show isn't, I don't have you on this show. We're not here to, you know, convert somebody. I'm just here to help people understand what might be going on. So if their husband is seeming like he is depressed and dead and just not engaged and presiding, to use the word, how you were leading into this idea of self-talk. What are some of the common, believer or non-believer, Brent, what are some of the ways you're seeing men talk to themselves? That's not obviously serving them, believer or non-believer, right? Some of these are just truths, right? So yeah, what's your thoughts on that? Or what are you seeing out there?
So I actually had this conversation just the other day, and I'm going to give this number wrong because I didn't prep for this. I'm sorry. I think it's like men average 80,000 thoughts a day.
Okay.
Or something like that. It's what science has told us. 94% of them are negative.
Wow.
Okay. That's,
yeah,
and I'm being conservative with numbers just because I can't fact check myself on that right now. But that's what I'm seeing. Like if anybody talked to me the way I talk to myself, I would not hesitate to start swinging. Like you talk to me like that, I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm old enough. I'm from Gen X. I don't buy into this whole hands-off approach that we've developed into. Growing up, you talked, you got hit. That's how it worked.
The good old days. The good old days.
You know, I think there was some value in that because men self-regulated to that.
Yeah.
Right? We have,
makes you think twice when you get punched in the mouth. Core, absolutely.
Right? At our very core, we have a pack mentality. And when you get men together, and men will self-regulate. That's the way we work in groups of men, is we self-regulate. And part of that is that pack mentality that men are just born with. And there's correction inside that, right? The head of the pack corrects wolves that fall out of line. Mm. Likewise, as men, we used to correct each other and hold each other more accountable on certain things. Well, now we're alone in our heads, and people are terrified to be alone in their own mind these days, which is kind of sad, all his own statement. But we're having all these negative thoughts. Men correlate certain points in our lives with our own value. One of those top things is our ability to bring in finances, right? That financial ability is one of the top reasons that guys struggle. Because everybody's struggling right now, right? We saw our world get wrecked a couple of years ago.
Right.
And, you know, people lost jobs, people lost businesses, entire people who had spent a lifetime building their business are 20 years in the job, lost their jobs. Well, men, their ability to financially provide is incredibly associated with our own self-worth and our own self-value. And the minute we start to fall off, like the negative self-talk, we just pummel ourselves with how horrible we are, how worthless we are. We start to struggle with that, right? Then you take that into the next step, and our value is actually tied to our professions. Men, if you're not a workaholic, a lot of men derive their value from their employment. Right. When you meet a person and you shake their hand, right? You introduce yourself, say, "Hey, I'm Brent.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
What do you do?"
The next question is, "What do you do?"
Yeah.
Right? That is the solid expectation for men.
Hmm.
What do you do? Well, that's because we define ourselves by what we do for a living. The first time someone asked me, "What do you do?" and I answered, "I'm a podcaster," like, I had to check. I got to the car and like had a momentary meltdown. Did I really just say that out loud? Right? If I identified as this, this is who I am now, because I know that correlation already. And so the fact that it came out of my mouth unintentionally when someone asked me is like, okay, I've changed my identity. This is what I identify with these days, as I'm a podcaster. I'm no longer an IT guy. And so men correlate work and finance with, I mean, the majority of our self-image comes out of there. And so if you dent those things, if we don't find value in our job, if we don't find fulfillment in our job, and if our job isn't quite paying the bills, not even reasonably paying the bills, okay? A man can have a job that is paying his bills, like his actual, I have to have this live bills, but it's still not to the financially secure level they think they should be at. We're still beating ourselves up over it.
Mm. Yeah. Do you think that, I'm just curious. It's an interesting thing because there's this, and you probably, because of your work, you have a better way of articulating this, but I'll ask it kind of like a question, you know. Because I can feel that, Brent, when you look at the world, right? It's like, well, yeah, okay, maybe I'm covering my bills, but then, wow, do I have enough here? Do I have enough prepared for this? Do I have enough of this? So, well, Bob's got to, you know, fill in the blank. It doesn't matter. A different car, a different house, a second house. Do you have the beach? Do you have the? And then I'm kind of being funny, but everybody fills that in into their own blank. Or I think it's an old, I don't know if it's a Donald Trump statement or something. Somebody asked one time, like, how much is enough? And the person famously said, a little bit more, right? One more, and things like that. And so, you know, there's when it's unchecked and we don't, and then we're going to be just insatiably, you know, unsatisfied, whatever that word is. We'll just never, it's never enough. And because we, when we have that wrong perspective, and like you said earlier, I think the world is constantly trying to hang something out in front of us to say, well, yeah, of course it's not enough because you don't have this and you don't have this and you don't have this. And then, of course, once you get X, Y, Z, then it'll be enough. But we've all, to some level in our life, we've all experienced getting that thing, like you had mentioned earlier in your life. But then we got there, whatever there is, and we went, well, that didn't actually, that actually wasn't what it was about. And so, you know, I think being aware of this, now there is another side of this, and this is what I guess my question to you, this drive that men have. Now, I think this is where I think you're in such a sweet spot, Brent, which is purpose is what transforms this. Because when it's purpose, then it isn't, then you're operating out of not what I need to get something to satisfy or to be happier or to pay my bills. You're actually just operating out of your purpose. One of my favorite scriptures is Matthew 6, I think 33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom and all else will be added. To me, what that means is, hey, do what God's called you to do, and then your all else will look like your own. That's because it's unique to you. And then somebody else's all else is what God has for them. So how do you help men, I don't want to say break free from that, lack of a better way of saying it, but how do you help men identify that reality, but then also not get so caught up in it that it, like you said, you know, destroys them, even when they do, quote, make it?
So, you know, in this stage of, right, we're cleaning that room and yeah, we're getting rid of the negative self-talk. We're getting rid of some preconceived notions. As we start to see and open up the space, we can start to look at what they're passionate about and start to dig for that, right? We start to dig for what they're passionate about, where they, what moves them, what they always fall back into. And we'll start fishing around there for purpose, right? Because you're right. Men who align with their purpose aren't as open to the issues, right? Yeah. They're not as open to these problems. So we have to start with the cleanup a little bit, and then we have to start fishing for what really starts to move somebody. So, for example, I thought for a very long time, I told you I ran away. I had my Jonah experience. I was running away from God because I was feeling called into ministry and I was not going to have any of it. I was a preacher's kid. Not the life I was going to have. On top of that, I was a domestic missionary's kid. Mm-hmm. So we moved all the time. And it's not the life I wanted. But I thought that's where God was pulling me. And then as I progressed through my life, I started to gain some clarity because I started seeing this repeating situation occur again and again. And it was no matter where I was and what I was doing, I always fell back into a position where I was teaching and training people. Mm. And that happened in every profession I ever had. I found myself the trainer, the guy who taught the next person, whatever you want to call it. Mm. I always fell back to that. As a youth minister, that's what I was doing. I was teaching, I was training. And, you know, and I, as an IT guy, that's where I fall back into every single time. And over my lifetime, I got to see this. So men will fall into these patterns. We're going to find, as we gain, unfortunately, I have to say some years, you start to see this repeating pattern in your life where you always fall back to certain tendencies. And as we start to clear that mess up, we can start to get that hindsight and start to look through our life and go, hey, where was I passionate? Where was I feeling fulfilled? What do I fall into over and over again? Not the negative habits and stuff like that we're starting to try and clear up.
Right.
But where do I find myself over and over again? Because your purpose is there. It's always been there, peeking out at you. We're just not taught to look at it. And it manifests over and over again in whatever you're doing. Like, it will always find its way to stick its head out. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's part of who you are because this is something that you were born with. And so no matter what you're doing, it tries to express itself. Right. So as we start to clean that up, that's what we're looking for, is how do we, what's always shown up in your life over and over and over again? And then how do we bring that out and start playing with that a little bit to really start testing that? Is that what feels good? Is that what I get passionate about? Is that what I get excited about? I speak at podcast conferences sometimes, and one of the things I always tell podcasters is, like, our especially young podcasters, is if you can't talk about it forever without getting paid, don't start a podcast on it. Right?
Yeah.
I will be having a conversation till the day I die. It was this workout stuff, and I figured that market was pretty saturated. Those are the two things I can always talk about. I will talk workout so I'm blue in the face. I will talk helping people step forward. One of my greatest accomplishments in the professional industry is I took three or four people out of our security team at the facility I worked at and cross-trained them into what we did and set them on a better career path that they didn't even think was possible. We're talking, you know, $10 an hour more or $15 an hour more than what they were making into a field that had an actual place to go for these people who found themselves not where they wanted to be. I had several college age or just out of college age young people who had got their degrees in like criminal justice or criminal law or something like that and ended up security guards because one of them's health issues were kept keeping him out of the police academy. And, you know, one of them didn't have enough experience, so no one would take her, right? That's one of the greatest things I ever got to do, is I got to help them, and I've gotten to watch them now. I still know them grow in those careers and build their lives on solid incomes. And right, I get that same feeling when I help a young person align with Jesus, right? When I see it start to click in that relationship, start to become theirs instead of something they were taught. And then I get that same experience when I'm working with a client in the gym who is working back from an injury or working against a health concern, and they start to regain their life. I get that excitement and that drive, and I can just, everything else just fades away. And so we start looking for those repeating patterns in their lives to help them move into those things and playing with that stuff.
Brent, do you have...
Now, once we actually...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, do you have maybe just weave this into where you're going with this, but because we do have a lot of people that are probably, that listen, and it's a similar demographic age-wise to us, that have kids. You know, I'm sitting here listening to you, and I'm thinking about, you know, my son and my wife and I. We're just having this conversation this morning, right? He's going to be a ninth grader, so we're like, okay, we're doing the math. You know, we're like, we got a few years left with him, and we want to continue to, just steward him well and parent him well and things like that. Do you have, and so maybe the direction that you're going here, do you have some thoughts for us as parents that you have seen are good principles as we are? I mean, I know you're talking about ourselves, and that's huge, and I want to talk about that. But I'm wondering, you know, is there a thing, because you were just bringing up, you know, kind of course your history with being a youth pastor, but also, like, you know, it made me think of it with these other people that you've helped, you know, rise up and maybe see more of a future for themselves. Is there some maybe to do's and maybe not to do's that you've seen are real tough on raising kids, where you can do something unintentionally oftentimes? Maybe where you, you know, you didn't mean to, but maybe you set them up in an area that wasn't good for them. Just thoughts on that either way.
Yeah. Not to do, don't overschedule your kids. Our society has managed to press this concept that busier is better, right? Busy people are important people. Busy people are people who are actually accomplishing something. Busy people don't get into trouble. These are all lies. You can be busy. In fact, I know a lot of busy people who don't do anything. Like, they don't contribute to the world. They don't help anybody. They don't do anything life-altering. Like, they're just busy, because that's what important people are, is busy. We see it all the time on social media, on YouTube. And so bought into this lie of making our kids busy. Your kids need some time when they're not busy. because that gives them some time to actually self-reflect a little bit, whether they realize it or not. Hmm. They get to reflect on what they do that they enjoy. They get to actually think about choices they're making. They get to ponder their experiences, actually, and spend some time in the quiet of their brain and looking at their life, reflecting on their life, reflecting on their choices, so they don't if they're busy. So that's one thing. Yeah. I mean, that grows into adulthood. We do the same thing in adulthood. So I had some parents who, I love them with all my heart, but I actually pulled them aside. I generally do not ever, when I was a youth minister, try and tell a parent how to parent. Mm. I'm against it. I think it's wrong. That's not my job. But I actually pulled them inside. It's like, you got to back your kid down. They were finishing high school while doing Running Start. Mm-hmm. They were in the high school and the college choir, drama ensemble, performance choir, and jazz choir. They were working a part-time job, coming to 3 Bible studies a week and church. I was like, and I mean, they lived in the sticks. So it wasn't a short trip, any of this. And I was like, look, I know why she's busying herself, but you need to be the parents and tell her she's got to pick and choose. I have a hard, fast line with my kids. They're involved in one activity at a time when it comes to like school stuff. That's it. Yeah. That was the standard that was applied to me growing up as well. So I actually got that one from my parents. But it's one activity. Now, we fudged a little bit because they are Girl Scouts, but that takes place outside of like quote unquote school hours, normal week hours most of the time. But it's one activity. They can be in basketball, but they can't be in basketball and do the play. They can do the play or not, right? I don't pick my kids' sports. I put them in sports to let them choose some and decide what they want. I'm encouraging them to try it. The one rule is, if you sign up for a season, you finish the season, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not. But a limit. I'm big into my kids having some dead time. Mm. I think it's very important for them to learn to have the quiet, learn to have the still, and learn to not be busy. So I think that's a big one that plays into adult life. We take that with us, and we try and just be busy as adults. And it's creating a generation of people who are hamsters. Is that a nice way of saying it?
Yeah,
we're running on that. We ain't going anywhere.
I think so many times, Brent, we you hear the term the rat race or the old keeping up with the Joneses, and I think and I think by the time if you fall for that from when you're young, and a lot of us were raised with like everything you just described, right? Being busy or get her done or achieve or, you know, that's how it came, accolades, and then where you going to school, and then where you gonna, you know, best college, and then from there and there and there. And it was really never about a lot of the things that you talked about the first half of this show, which is, well, what's your purpose? Like, I don't remember that. Now I feel really just lucky that I kind of feel like in my instance, and there's probably a better way of saying it, but I believe it was God. But looking back at the time, I would have just said I got lucky. I happened into a career that I really love, with chiropractic and just God's laws of health and healing. And so, but it actually wasn't intentional. And so, coming to that awareness, now, like you said, it's very true. Things keep showing up in my life. I mean, I was a boxer, and so I've always liked fighting in a sense, and that was a big part of my life. And I've always liked kind of fighting for the underdog, and so now I end up in chiropractic, and it really is. I'm contending for my patients, and I'm, of course, these times that we're in, these crazy healthcare times, I'm trying to combat a lot of that. So I'm a fighter in a sense, and then it just doesn't really matter what I do. That's what always, to your point, that's what just keeps showing up. I've never really reflected on it like you have kind of shown us, but I want people, so there's no doubt that if you've operated that way for a long time, yeah. And then maybe you wake up when you're picking number 30, 40, some 50, and you realize, I think we all ask ourselves this question at some point, which is like, well, what is all this for? I was in, oh gosh, can't think the scripture off the top of my head. I think it's Matthew. When he's talking about like, don't store treasures up in heaven, right? You know, we laugh about this stuff because we all know that it's true. But then you look at our daily life, and it's mostly what we're trying to do is build our little empire and keep up with this rat race. And it is very true. And I think, to your point, just literally stopping and reflecting on that. Now, of course, it can be destabilizing for a bit because you kind of realize I've been wasting a lot of time on things that don't really matter. And so that can be destabilizing for a minute because it's kind of like, well, then what really is life all about? And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but to some level, that's actually a really good place to get for a season, asking yourself these kinds of questions and instead of just letting the world shove answers down your throat of, well, it's this and this. It's going to this school. It's getting your degree as fast as you can. It's getting this. It's whatever the scenario is and what you are living through. So we realize that a lot of this is a rat race. Or we're on this metaphorical hamster wheel. But we're kind of going, well, what? Okay, I don't like it. I want out of it. So then the answer seems to be to get out of it, Brent, is, well, then I just better go, you know, make my millions so I can unplug and move out on the ranch, you know, metaphorically or literally, and then I'll just get out of the world. But for most people, that's probably not going to be a reality. They're not going to become independently wealthy and be some social media influencer, these things we're teasing about here. So that's not an option, and I don't think that's the answer. So how do we operate in this world, not of this world? How do we do that and not succumb to all the negative things that we're talking about? Do you have some thoughts on that? Is it a perspective thing? Is it so where do you take a person from there?
I have to say, honestly, like men are mission oriented. And this is one of the reasons I come back to purpose so hard with men. Your purpose is a mission. And so once a man can identify that, once he can start to really sort out, this is what I'm meant to be, right? And let me throw in the caveat, don't sandbox yourself, right? My mission is not necessarily to be on this microphone speaking on my podcast. My mission is to help people level up wherever I am, right? Your purpose, sorry, I'm changing words here. My purpose is bigger than that. It's not being on this microphone. It's helping people go to that next level for them, helping them make their lives better, to improve themselves and grow in wherever I am. So a lot of people hamstring themselves into, my purpose is to be the next great Joe Rogan on the podcast, right?
Sure.
Right. My purpose is about helping men level up, right? To grow that. I think when your listeners, when men find their purpose, guys, it won't necessarily pay your bills. It won't necessarily change your economic status or change the way you live. It will change the way you live your life. And once you start to align with that, start to move all those pieces to align with that, it will start to take you out of that rat race. When you start to have that clarity, because you stop weighing your life on those outside influences and you start weighing your life on, are you completing your mission? Are you serving people? For me, like, am I serving that next man? Am I helping him to take that next step he needs to take, right? I can honestly say I've been doing my show for years. I've never made a dime on my show. I spent $22,000 hosting my conference the last 2 years. That's after like with ticket sales. I still $22,000 in the hole of that. My wife and I took that on, knowing we were going to put that out of pocket, knowing that it would take years to grow my conference. Why? Because I got to help men level up, and I got to see the fruit of that. I had a guy stop me and hug me and say, you changed my life. It's like, no, I didn't. But I got to see the fruit of that when I ran into him 9 months later and see that he is no longer an alcoholic. He got help. He straightened out his family life. He straightened out. He's become the father he's always wanted to. The man radically changed his life. And you know what? That $22,000 isn't hard to swallow. Because I see that man and the difference he's making in his family, in his community, in the world around him. I'd pay $22,000 for that any given day of the week. It's about aligning with who you are, what you're meant to do. And once you do that, that joy of being in alignment with your purpose actually really weighs out over those influences. You have a bad day, you hear people trying, oh, well, you're not doing this. Who cares? I'm doing what I'm meant to do.
Well, I have to
answer the question.
Well, I mean, as good as we can do on a show like this. And that's why I want to give you a chance to just let people know how to best follow you as we and give you last word here. But I was just wondering, you have to get asked this a lot. Because it's a unique title of your show, The Fallible Man. And I think to me, sometimes it's almost this, like, it's this. Why that name? Where did it come from? I'm sure there's got to be a reason for it.
There are, and it's a twofold reason. One, humility is the only way to approach men. Mm. We are built for conflict. Mm. There's nothing wrong with that, but we are built for conflict. The only way to approach men is with humility and some vulnerability. And so I wanted to be 1,000% transparent. I'm not perfect. I don't have it all figured out. I'm a man on a journey trying to walk with other men on this path and help them as a brother helps a brother. Mm. Right? So I wanted no false pretense, no misunderstandings. I'm not clean. I got it down. I am a man. I'm a work in progress, and I'm inviting you to go with me. Mm. Right? So That's the twofold answer to the fallible man was, I want to be just 100% clear with everybody. I'm not going to tell you what you should do with your life. I'm going to share what I learn. I'm going to share ideas. I'm going to share experts with you who can help add value to your life if you choose to take the value out of what they're sharing. Amen. So you and I, we're same.
Yeah.
And so that's where the fallible man.
Yeah. No, I thank you for that answer. So, as what's the best way for people to that were touched by this show? Maybe, you know, some men or maybe some women that want their men to become familiar. They're going to get this. Hey, honey, I saw this. You should listen to this. What's the best way to follow you? Is it your show? I have a website. Just kind of give us your best. I know you said you don't love social media, so maybe that's not part of your world, but what's the best way to stay in touch with you or follow you?
So obviously I have the podcast, the Fallible Man podcast, and that is my main content mover, whether it's on YouTube or on, you know, podcasts, just radio. That's where I put out the most material, obviously. If you go to my website, thefallibleman.com, I have two different emails. I will not bombard your email. I hate spam email. So I have a biweekly email that gets unique content, also first announcements and news and stuff like that, and updates for people who want to be a little closer in. Then I have a weekly email that's just, hey, here's a recap of the week's podcast, the three shows we did this week, so you can see if they're worth your time, because I know not everybody can listen to every episode. So I have that recap podcast as well. And then I'm active on Instagram. I'm really trying to focus on just being active on Instagram right now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I am only there because people can reach me directly there. And that's the thing I hate about podcasting is there's just not a great way to interact directly with people.
Gotcha. Well, Brent, it was a real honor and pleasure and a show that we needed to do to have this conversation and to bring men into it. And I think you posed some questions that we, again, men or women, women have purposes too. We're just talking about it from a guy's perspective here today a little bit. But thank you for, you know, listening to that voice that, you know, hearing from you. I talk to a lot of people. You talk to a lot of people. So you kind of know when you talk to somebody that's just got a little different go at it and a different take, and they're doing what they're called to do. And I think you are one of those people. And so I personally, just as a man, appreciate your work. And I know what you mean when you put stuff out there and you really, you know, there's the blessings of a podcast, like you said, but then there's also the part you don't really know. you hope it's helping people, but you don't really know because you're talking to a microphone, right? You don't really see. And so you know, you do, it is always a little bit of a labor of love and a labor of just on faith. But thank you for being a voice in the wilderness a little bit and bringing these things to bear on a time where we desperately need them. So appreciate you. Appreciate your show, my friend, and the work that you're doing. Take care. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Design to Heal. Always remember that the greatest doctor lives inside of you, and God gave you what you need to be healthy and well. Connect with Dr. Ben at drbenrawl.com or achievewellness.clinic. And please share this podcast with someone who needs to hear it and follow us on Instagram at Design to Heal Podcast.